Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. Shine your light, therefore, on us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, to open up our eyes so we can see the way before us. As we think about the counterculture that Jesus asks us to walk in, we pray for help. Help to want what Jesus wants and to change with your help by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, how many different people have you slept with this week? Deary me, David. More than you realise. Well, as we wait for people who might be listening online to the recording of this later to pick up their coffee and to clean it off their computer keyboard, let's think about what on earth I'm on about. Well, suppose we thought about a body count. If we thought about last week, remember we were looking at murder. If we had a body count for murder across the last week, how have we done? Remember, with murder, it wasn't just stabbing someone that did it. It was calling them a fool or things like that. I wonder what our body count for murder has been over the last week. Hopefully less than the week before, having thought about what Jesus was asking in Matthew 5. And what about our body count for adultery? Well, where it was verbal murder, Jesus talks about what you might call visual adultery. Adultery that takes place in the eyes and the mind. We're in Matthew 5. It's the sermon on, part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is calling his disciples to think more seriously about holiness. He wants us to think about what's going on in our hearts, not just the things we're doing outside with our bodies. Jesus knows that eventually he's heading towards the cross, where he's going to save us by his grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, his generosity to us. He's going to lavish that forgiveness on us as we turn to him. And so it could be easy to think, well, if Jesus is going to lavish that forgiveness on me, then it doesn't really matter what I do, he'll forgive me anyway. No, says Jesus to his disciples. And he, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, lists the Beatitudes, these blessed characteristics of those who trust in him. Poor in spirit, they mourn, they're meek, they hunger and thirst for righteousness. And you could say that these few chapters are like a manifesto for believers. What's it going to be like if someone wasn't a believer and they wanted to become a believer in Jesus? What would it be like to be a believer? Well, they could read these three chapters and it would help them to see. A manifesto for believers. So it's a serious question. How many people have we had adultery with in the last week? There have been opportunities for each one of us in public. Maybe with a secretary at work or on a bus. In private, as we've watched telly or had a phone, a smartphone, or looked at the internet on our computers.
Does it count
dreams? We'll just listen, shall we, and see. And Jesus, we know the Lord Jesus wants to come alongside us in our lives. He says things like, a bruised reed I will not break. Come to me, all you who labour and a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. So there's great encouragement. We know as we come to Jesus, he's not going to hit us over the head with things. He's going to comfort us and help us. But at the same time, he is going to call us to take action. So let's see what Jesus is saying here in these verses and see how he can help. So the first thing in the first couple of verses, verse 27 and 28, is this. You can sin in your heart through your eyes. Or subtitle to that is, it's much easier to sin than you thought. You can sin in your heart through your eyes. It's much easier to sin than you thought. Verse 27. You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If it was just no adultery, which is the seventh of the Ten Commandments, then we'd probably, most of us, be able to say, I'm fine. I've not committed adultery. If I'm married, I've not gone off with someone who isn't my husband or wife. That's all great and fine. And we'd be like the Pharisees then. Remember, we've been thinking about the Pharisees who had lots of rules to tick off. We'd be able to tick off the rule in our book and say, that's fine, I haven't done that. But Jesus wants to know what's going on in our hearts. What's happening with our relationship with God? That's what's in our hearts. That's a real and living relationship, isn't it? Where God, the Holy Spirit, is helping us to live for Jesus. He wants us to see with his eyes, with the eyes of the Holy Spirit, what's happening in our lives in that relationship. You think of a husband's relationship with his wife. That's not a tick box relationship, is it? Imagine if it was. I've made the coffee, emptied the dishwasher, put my shaver in the right place in the bathroom. Tick, tick, tick. Great. Oh, she's worried because she's doing a big meeting today. Can't find that on my tick list. Nothing for that in the rule book. No, it's not like that, is it? It's something of the heart. It's a real, living, organic relationship. And same with us and God. What's going on in our hearts? Jesus says, in our hearts, we can commit adultery, that is breaking the faithfulness of a marriage relationship. We can commit adultery by looking at someone else and desiring them. So someone walks past and you see them, and then you take an extra look because you're attracted to them. You notice more than what they're wearing, perhaps. And there's a sexual focus to what our thoughts do. That, says Jesus, is actually committing adultery. And we all know what he's talking about, because at some stage in our lives, we've all done it. Now, just think for a moment. Why does Jesus tell us about sin? It's because he's God. He knows what the danger is. He wants us to spot that in our own lives, to repent and to fight against it and live for him. It's like a good doctor who sees an issue in our lives and wants to help us. And so Jesus says to us, you can sin in your heart through your eyes. Now the trouble is, the world says it's fine. There was a governor of Minnesota who was interviewed in a magazine, named a guy called Jesse Ventura, and he was asked, have you ever lusted in your heart? It's a very American kind of question, because lots of Christians in America. Have you ever lusted in your heart? He said, hey, you can look all you want. If a gorgeous woman walks by, as a man, you always look and wonder. Sure, there's nothing wrong with that. Whoa, Jesus says, yes, there is. The and wonder bit, that's the problem, says Jesus. What's the problem, says Jesse? You haven't actually done anything. And Jesus says, no, yes, you have. The problem is our sinful nature. The problem is our nature inside of us that always wants to turn God's good things into selfish bad things. So there's a good thing about human attraction and sex, and God has made that for a man and a woman in a lifelong marriage relationship. But our sinful nature wants to twist that and turn the desires and use them in the wrong way, outside of God's plan. And so in the world around us, and maybe we're affected by this as well, sex is not seen as the expression of a lifelong, faithful, loving relationship. Instead, it's seen as something that's self-centered, to please yourself, to get gratification for yourself. And other people are used as objects, not as lifelong partners. And what does that do? Well, that damages relationship, as all sin does. It damages our relationship with God, because it's going against what he wants. It damages our relationship with other human beings, and because we may never even meet the people who we're taking advantage of or using as an object. And it damages our relationship with our husbands or wives if we're married. It's a disastrous problem, isn't it? The world says it's fine, but actually, it's a real problem. And so it's good that Jesus points it out. Isn't that helpful of him to do that for us? Let's be practical for a moment or two. What does this mean for us, that we can sin in our heart through our eyes? Well, there's a difference, isn't there, when we look at people, between noticing someone and looking again at someone. Why are we looking again? It means that pornography is wrong. I think you probably assumed that anyway. But just in case you're wondering, pornography is imagery that is intended to produce lustful thoughts. The world thinks it's a joke. Do you remember this British Telecom advert a while back? It was advertising the internet, and all these men gathered around a computer and had a laugh. And you were supposed to think, oh, we know what they're looking at. Ha, 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 ha. The world thinks pornography is a joke. But Jesus says, no, it's dangerous and damaging. It's hurtful. How we dress can be unhelpful if it causes someone else to sin. And flirting is something that is to be thought carefully about. If you're a single person, then flirting can still be helpful in courting with someone. But if you're not, if you're married, then flirting is not something that you should be doing with someone else, unless they're your husband or wife. Be very careful in the office or wherever. So those are some simple practical implications of what Jesus is saying. You might think, hang on a minute, aren't you Christians really hung up about this sex thing? Well, we've got to it in Matthew, that's why we're talking about it. And Jesus sees our hearts and knows the damage that this can cause. Damage to relationships, our relationship with God, first of all, but also with other people. So it's important that we see what he has to say. You can sin in your heart through your eyes. It's much easier to sin than you thought. But then Jesus goes on to effectively say, take action. Take action to stop it happening, or you'll be in serious danger. And the subtitle of this section is, it's a much more serious problem than you thought. It's much easier to sin than you thought. It's a much more serious problem than you thought. Take action to stop it happening, or you'll be in serious danger. Have a look at verse 29. If your right eye causes you to stumble, in other words, if by your right eye you look lustfully at someone and commit adultery with them in your heart, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Jesus is exaggerating. Okay? As far as I know, his disciples walked around with both eyes. He's exaggerating. We say, or Jesse Ventura says, oh, you can look all you want. And Jesus says, no. Take it seriously. It's dangerous. Claire and I went to Pompeii a while back to look at the amazing ruins there that have been dug up. And Pompeii was a place where a huge volcano went off and buried the place in ash and all sorts of things. And it's very sad because thousands of people died, and you can actually see their bodies, or where their bodies were, in all these sort of poses they were in when the ash and everything overtook them. But the saddest part of all it was that none of these people had to die. For weeks there were rumblings and earthquakes and a plume of smoke going up from the mountain. If they'd heeded the warnings, they could all have escaped. And thousands of people did. Thousands of people left Pompeii before the volcano went off. If only they'd heeded the warnings. And Jesus wants us to take this seriously and heed his warning. So he tells us that there is serious danger. There is serious danger. He says, verse 29, it's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. You see, the serious danger is sin and a guilty verdict from God. If God looks at us at the end of time and says, you're guilty of sin, then we'll be separated from him forever. One day we will be called to account before him. He will judge us. These two guys are Andy Gray and Richard Keys. And just a few years ago, they're Sky Sports commentators. They thought no one knew what they were saying in between the different clips and things. And they were being very sexist about some women who were linesmen in the game. But they were being recorded, and the recording was played, and Judgment Day came. And everything they said was heard by everyone. Well, it's even more the case with us, isn't it? Everything in our lives will be seen by God, and his standards are so high, judgment will come. And so there is serious danger with any kind of sin. There is also, as well as the judgment that is to come, there is also moral disaster that can follow. Because what starts in the eye can end up leading to action in someone's life, can't it? And apparently one law firm says that in about 1 in 5 divorces, Facebook, the internet social network, is cited as a reason in the divorce. So there's serious danger in this visual adultery. And so Jesus calls on us to take action, to do something about it, to do something about it. Here's a man playing rugby, and his mouth looks rather funny because he's got a gum shield in. And in the Six Nations, you'll notice they're often taking their gum shields out so they can talk to people. Why do they wear gum shields? To stop their teeth being smashed out. Why? They know it's a risk. They take action to avoid it. And we need to take action to avoid this risk of the danger of visual adultery. Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. Do something about this. Do something about it. Now, he's exaggerating. He's not being literal. He's not saying, actually, get a rather sharp knife from the kitchen drawer and scoop your eye out. A spoon would probably do the job. He's exaggerating to make his point, a serious point. Put up some defences. Here's a lovely verse from Job 31, verse 1. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. There's someone putting up defences. I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. This man, Job, has said, okay, I know this is an issue. I've made an agreement with myself that I won't look at a woman in that way. What defences can we put up? What sentries can we put in place in our life, standing there guarding us? Self-awareness is one. Is this an issue that you know is an issue you face? Well, be honest with yourself. And there's another. Don't watch stuff that's got things that make you lust after someone on the telly or the internet. If it's something to do with public transport, and there's someone you see every day on your way to work, get in a different carriage. At home, get internet protection on your computers so that you can't actually even look at the websites where these things are. There's all sorts of defences we can put up. We can, well, not gouge our eyes out, but do what Jesus is suggesting because of that. Maybe someone's single, and it's a tough call, isn't it, to not go the world's way and to deny your sexual drive. But this is part of the cost of discipleship. And remember how Jesus honours our faith in him and helps us by the Spirit. Maybe you think, as we talk through this, and maybe someone's listening at another time, and they think to themselves, well, it's too late. It's too late for me. I've done all this. I've seen all this. I think all this. How can I ever stop? And it's possible to almost be addicted to this kind of thing, to a visual adultery. You need to talk to someone. And so, guys, if there's an issue for you, do grab me. Phone me up, we'll meet, have a coffee, talk about it. Ladies, talk to someone, maybe Claire. I'm volunteering you, Claire, sorry. grab Claire and talk to her about it. One of the great things about brother and sister in Christ is that we can help each other and we can bear each other's burdens and help each other to trust in Jesus and to follow him more. And so let's be accountable to each other. So that's on offer if that's something that's helpful. Maybe you're too embarrassed. You think, I'm too embarrassed to do that. Well, it's better, isn't it, for us to lose one part of our body, so to speak, to have a bit of embarrassment, than for our whole body to be thrown into hell. So take action to stop it happening, or we'll be in serious danger. So what have we got to do? Well, we can sin in our heart through our eyes, and we need to take action to stop it happening or be in serious danger. But there is one other thing to say, and it's very important that we say this, and that's this. That Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is much more forgiving than you thought. Much more forgiving than you thought. If you ever go to the ferry to get to France or somewhere, and you get to the port, and all over the place there are these notice boards saying, have you got your first aid kit? Have you got 23 yellow jackets to wear in the car? Have you got a spare set of light bulbs? And you might think, oh my goodness, oh no, I haven't got 23 light bulbs, what am I going to do? It's okay, They're warning you of that because next to the sign is a shop where you can buy all the light bulbs and yellow jackets you need. And Jesus warns us not to make us think, oh my goodness, it's all over, I can't do anything about this. But Jesus warns us because he is the one we can turn to for the forgiveness that we need. The forgiveness so that when we face God's judgment, we face it as forgiven sinners because of him. He warns us to save us. And the good news of Jesus is that forgiveness is possible because of the cross. So remember those words from 1 John. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is possible again and again because of Jesus' death for us. And change is possible. As we repent, we're turning away from doing the things that God doesn't like. And the gift of the Holy Spirit with us, he helps us to counter the sinful nature within. Jesus is the answer. So, we've seen in these few verses some quite clear and helpful teaching, haven't we, that we can sin in our heart through our eyes. We need to take action to stop it happening or be in serious danger, and that Jesus is the answer. And we need to finish, really, I think, by looking back to the beginning of chapter 5 and seeing what Jesus said there. Because maybe as we read these things, we feel a bit crushed because of our sin. And Jesus says, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted. And maybe we hear these verses and we're desperate to change. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And let me just finish with some more words from Jesus. From John's Gospel, John tells us that Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. It's John 6:35. And John 7, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at Jesus' teaching and the way it challenges our culture and the way we're taught to think by the world around us, you know that you're at work deep in our hearts. We need your forgiveness through Jesus. And we praise and thank you that you've lavished your grace on us and it's freely available in him through his death on the cross. Lord, we need your help to put to death the acts of the sinful nature. Please help us to be honest with you and with ourselves. Please help us to take action. Work in our hearts to change us as well, we pray, that our desires would be more for you, that we would hear the promptings of the Spirit in our hearts and be able to live more for you. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that Jesus is our loving Saviour, one who will not break a bruised reed, one who calls us to come to him and find rest in him. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.